It's a pleasure to be before you standing here today. It's a pleasure to be sitting with you there. We're all together here praising our God, our King, our Master. And there's nothing more exciting than that, and being together with other Christians. David said that he was excited to go up to the house of the Lord. And I get the sense that that's the attitude of the folks that are here every Sunday and every Thursday too. And we're grateful for that. You might want to turn down your cell phone so it doesn't become a distraction to us, in case somebody doesn't know where you are, in which case they need to be informed and invited also. Last week, we're going to pick up on what we discussed last week. Last week in our lesson on Sunday morning. A quick review. First of all, God is our King. Gary mentioned that in class. God has set boundaries on what we can do. Neither an individual nor a group of individuals, a local church, can do just whatever she, he, or it wants to do. He is our King. This is not in familiar territory for us. We're Americans. We live in a democracy where I have my opinion and you're going to hear it. But that's not so with God. He's our King. And what he tells us, we do. What he tells us not to do, we don't do. At least that's the way it ought to be. He set boundaries, so we had better know that we have permission for what we are doing. We'd better know it, because we're going to answer to our God, who is also our judge that we will face. God has given us a method to discover what he wants. Statement, command, example, necessary inference. We talked about that last week also. There is a pattern, and also the fact that silence can restrict. There's something we didn't talk about explicitly last week, but the peril of acting presumptuously. If we don't know that we can do something, remember Nadab and Abihu? Remember Uzzah and others? It's great peril. Romans 14 says, what is not from faith is sin. Whatever we don't know we can do is sin. So this is review from last week. We're going to build on that this week. It's going to be a little technical, but it's going to be really easy. It's going to be so easy that I'm worried that you might fall asleep, so please don't. Today, something about generic and specific authority. The simple point, simply stated. Every statement, command, example, necessary inference, that's from last week, from which we derive authority, can be both specific and generic authority at the same time. It is specific in that it specifically authorizes an act. It is generic in that, unless further modified, we'll remember this for later, it generically authorizes all manners in which that act may be fulfilled. The rest of this lesson is going to be enumerating on that simple principle. A couple different exercises, if you will. Matthew 28, the first exercise. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus came up and spoke to them and said, all authority has been given to me, okay? He is the King. So he's the one who's going to tell us to do or not to do. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. And you can stop there. And this is how we're going to take this lesson. We're going to take it a little bit at a time. Go. From there we have specific authority to go. Now, a little background here. The Sadducees, you've heard of them. They were limited to the aristocracy and the high priests. They didn't go anywhere. The Essenes, you may have heard of them. Some suspect that John the Baptist was a member of the Essenes. I have no proof for it in the scripture. But the Essenes, they didn't proselytize. They didn't go out. The only way you could become an Essene is by being adopted into the Essene community. Even today, most Jewish sects do not proselytize. In other words, the opposite of going is wait around until they come to you. And without this specific, for 40 days now, Jesus has been appearing to them. And until he gave them this specific command, guess what? They didn't know if they could go, and now we have explicit, specific authority, you can go. It is generic authority in that, for example, how go? Did you notice? Go. Now, does he say by foot? Does he say by horse? Does he say by whirlwind? Does he say by cart? No, he doesn't say anything. So they have an option here, one of two things. Either they can say, oh no, he didn't tell us how to go, and sit there in fear and never go because he didn't tell them how to go. Or they conclude, he didn't tell us how to go, so he must not care. That is entirely up to us. This is an extremely important point. If something is not modified further than generic authority, it provides generic authority for all manner. He doesn't tell them how to go, so what they understand is, oh, we either can't go at all, but he said to go, but he didn't tell us how to go, so he doesn't mind how we go. So I'll go on a ship, I'll go on by foot, I'll go by a horse, I'll go by this way, planes, trains, and automobiles. Also, when and how often to go. Oh, he didn't tell us when to go. What do I do? Well, if he didn't tell us, but he said go, then we know that he doesn't care, if you will, when we go. Go whenever you have the opportunity. That's when you go. Now, go where? To whom? To whom do we go? Or where do we go? If it were not further modified, then it would be generic. Go anywhere. Now, this is kind of funny, because this one, in its modification, it is a generic modification. Go and make disciples of all nations. So go everywhere. Go to all disciples, all nations. Now here's something interesting. You remember Matthew chapter 10 and Luke 10. Jesus sends out the 70. And he tells them, do not go in the way of the Gentile, the Samaritan, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. See, that one was specific. You only go right there. Now, even here, by now, right here, if we were back there, if you had asked these Jews that are sitting there listening to Jesus tell this command, they would not have known that they were supposed to go to the Gentiles. In fact, they won't know even until Acts chapter 10. This clears up all confusion. Go everywhere. Clears up confusion. But notice, in this, I have referred to an example of a specific, in Luke chapter 10 and Matthew chapter 10, the 70 are to not go to the Gentiles, but they're only to go to the house of Israel. This is easy so far, isn't it? The second part of this command. Jesus said to them, go, therefore, and make disciples. Okay, we stop. We know we have permission from this command to make disciples. Now again, you remember Matthew chapter 16? Jesus says to Peter, Peter, who do you think I am? And he says, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus says to him, don't tell anybody. Then the next chapter, Matthew 17, there's the transfiguration. And Jesus comes off of that, off the hill, and says to him, don't tell anybody. So here, he's been resurrected and appearing to them for 40 days, and finally they have permission to go and make disciples. It is also generic authority if it were not further modified. Now you're getting this, right? This is, you know this already. It's like grammar. You use it all the time, you just don't talk about it all the time. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Making disciples will be modified three ways. First of all, of all nations. There's your first modification. And then, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. The baptizing and the teaching are participles. They come off of make disciples. Make disciples. So it's further modified. So, generic authority, if it were not further modified, but it is further modified. Now, about the how, which is the emphasis of this part. Go, therefore, make disciples. How? Baptizing them and teaching them. Here's something interesting regarding the teaching. It itself gives us specific authority to teach. Now, can we teach just anything? No, it's further modified. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So it's further modified. Baptizing gives us specific authority to baptize. Also, it's further modified. It says, in the name of the Father. And you know from other places that the purpose is for forgiveness of sins, and from yet other places that they're baptizing in water. Ephesians says you're baptized in water. Washed in water is what it says. Hebrews says the same thing. Now it's also generic authority in that it doesn't tell them where. Where, Jesus, where should we baptize? Over here, over there, he doesn't say. So either you wonder, oh no, Should I baptize over here or should I baptize over here? Because he didn't tell us, I don't know what to do. Or you reason, he didn't tell us, so we go and baptize wherever. They're driving down the road, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Here's a quick summary of this. Something, once it has been specifically authorized, unless it is further modified somewhere, somehow, it gives us generic authority for all manner of fulfilling the act. Notice this, somewhere. You don't get water out of Matthew 28. You don't actually get water. Now, we know water, but not from here. We get it from other places. The same thing with forgiveness of sins. For forgiveness of sins, we don't get it from here. We get it from other places. So somewhere, somehow. Also, to determine if something is further modified, you look for additional statement, command, examples, and necessary. You just keep on building, going through, reading, looking, building, going through, reading, looking, taking another one, taking another one. It has to be necessarily implied that it's applicable, so on and so forth. We talked about that last week. The example, an illustration would be like this. You find yourself in a room. What's the room? The room is make disciples. On the floor of the room, there's a key, and there are a whole bunch of doors. The question is, does this key open every door or only one? You try all these doors, and nope, only one. Okay, so you go into the next room, make disciples. Well, in this case, it would be two keys, or one key that opens two doors, but not every door. Make disciples, teaching and baptizing. So you're in one of those rooms now. Now, there's a key on the middle of the floor. You go over, you pick it up. There's a whole bunch of doors. Does this open up every door or just one door? And you go through and you go through and you go through. Nope, nope, not every door, just this one door. And finally, you keep on doing that until you reach a room where you find a key that opens up every single door. And that's essentially what we're doing. And statements, commands, examples, and necessary inferences are the keys. And every time we're opening up or not opening up another door. This has been very easy for you so far. It is going to remain easy, but I'm going to step up its complexity. It is not complicated, but it is complex, which means a whole bunch of simple things all interrelated. Okay. Silence can restrict. We've already talked about this, but we're going to build on it. Example. Explicit specific authority. Explicit specific authority to baptize and to teach. And silence of any other method restricts any other method. For example, we cannot compel with the sword. Make disciples, compelling with the sword. He doesn't say it. He says, baptize them and teach them. We can't compel them with the sword. Oh, by the way, what does it say to teach? Teach them all that I commanded you. You cannot teach math. That's not the qualification. Or anything else. You've got to teach them what he taught them. If he had taught them math, then that would have been included. But he didn't. Also, it says to baptize them, not to rub their tummy and their head at the same time. Let me teach you, do you believe the gospel? Now let me rub your head and your tummy at the same time. I can't even do that. That's not what it says. And you get it, and you understand that sprinkling either, because the word baptize means to immerse. We have to immerse. So, when something is specifically authorized, then silence of any other method restricts any other method. But at the same time, silence can, and I say release. That is, once something is specifically authorized, if it itself is not further authorized or modified, silence generically authorizes any method. For example, we are to baptize. And we know we're to baptize in water for the forgiveness of sins, so on and so forth. What temperature water? Oh no. We don't know. So do we not do anything? No. It's not stated. So he says, go, baptize. Here are some things that are required, and the rest is not. Whatever it's got, whatever temperature it is. Okay. Another example. Another exercise. Ephesians chapter 5. The second part of this lesson, which we're approaching rapidly, is the fun part of this lesson. It's basically where we take everything that we've been talking about for 2 weeks now and put it all together. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Stop. What do we know we have specific authority to do? To be filled with the Spirit. Now, if it were not further modified, you know the deal, you could probably repeat it back to me by now, then we could be filled with the Spirit any way we wanted to. But it's further modified. Do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, here are the verbs that go back to that being filled. How am I filled? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and being subject to one another in the fear of Jesus Christ. That's how we fill ourselves with the Holy Spirit. So it's further modified. Now, something specific about the singing. About singing. This is specific authority to sing. He says you can sing. So from this passage, and others, but from this passage, we understand, okay, we can sing. It is also generic authority. When? It doesn't say when. So just sing. How often? For how long? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? 3 hours? It doesn't say. Because the Lord is not so concerned with that in this instruction. Sing. What about what type of song? There is no generic authority because the songs are further modified. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In other words, we can't sing patriotic songs or rock songs or country western songs or whatever songs. They have to be spiritual songs. When he says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, it eliminates all others. But it's also generic authority for what psalm, hymn, or spiritual song? Psalm 119? Psalm 150? Psalm 17? What? Which ones? Anyone, as long as it's a psalm, hymn, and a spiritual song. Making melody. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody. We have specific authority to make melody. Right? We also have generic authority here. What melody? Which one? How fast? How slow? How high? How low? How quiet? How loud? George and Stephen can talk about these things all day long. You look up the songbook and you got little dots and squiggles and little critters running all around. But all of that is generally authorized in sing songs. Well, these things are what songs are comprised of. These things songs comprise. Also, what about with what? Do we have generic authority to sing any song, to sing songs with anything, to make melody with anything? What does it say? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart. That's what we have. That's the instrument we play. Make melody. And if he didn't say with your heart, guess what we could do? Anything we wanted to. But he says, with your heart. Now, I know it's a metaphor. But even that, you understand, there's an instruction. Make melody, and then there's the instrument. With your heart. And that limits any other instrument. It's easy, isn't it? You got it down pat. Having talked about the easy stuff, let's get into some applications. We're going to start with three classifications. There's a command, a specific authorization. For example, go. We've already seen this. And then there's further modification to go. Remember, he said to go to all nations. Now, we also remember that he didn't tell us how to go. Well, either they're not going to go anywhere because they're afraid of how to go, or they're going to assume, necessarily infer, that they can go any way that is possible to them. That is a generically authorized, and I'll use the word aid for now, planes, trains, and or automobiles. Nothing new so far. Baptize. You remember? There are some essentials. In Jesus' name, for the forgiveness of sins, in water. The water, for example. Do you remember what container Jesus said the water must be in the water that you use to baptize. It must be in, it doesn't say a container. So what do we know? Get water and put it in something big enough for a person to be baptized, fully immersed in. Water container, river, ocean, lake, bathtub, baptistry, whatever it is. Cow trough, feeding trough underneath the lectern here. Build an ark. Now, I know we didn't go to Genesis 6, but I know you know the story. Remember, Moses? Glad you know the story. Moses wasn't an ark in the New King James. Okay, so Noah, build an ark. Remember the sum of the stipulations, not the numbers necessarily, gopher wood, three stories, and one window. Now, if you turn back there, you'll not see the Lord specify any tools. He says, make an ark. Well, either Noah says, oh no, I don't know what to use because God didn't tell me, or he necessarily infers, God didn't tell me what to use, but he told me to make it. So from there I reason, I can make it with whatever I want to, whatever tool I want to. Saw and a hammer. Okay, about this category, right up there real quick. Generally authorized aid. Here is the second simple point, simply stated. Once an act, or the what, has been authorized, regarding anything inherent to performing the act, the how, that has not been specified, if he didn't tell us how to do something, he told us what to do, but not how to do it. Now, if he tells us what to do and how to do it, that's different. But if he tells us what to do, but he doesn't tell us how to do it, then we have generic authority to figure out these details, logistic elements, if you will, according to our own wisdom. He didn't tell us how. So, you figure out how. That's the point. These are not matters of revelation. And what this is expressions that we use, some of us use all the time. You might run into it. That is revelation. The God's word itself does not explicitly identify any specific method. However, revelation implies, demands authority. He says, go. We got to figure out a way to go. He doesn't tell us how, but it demands that we have to figure out a way to go. Thus, these matters are of our judgment or our opinion. Sometimes we call them expedients. That's a biblical term. Sometimes we call them matters of opinion or matters of judgment. Acts 15. You remember Acts 15. Should we teach, when we teach the gospel, should we teach that they need to be circumcised and become Jews? And the answer is no. And you remember, statement, command, example, necessary inference, that the Holy Spirit is the one that decided, do you teach that or not? Verse 28, the Holy Spirit is one that decided. But they're left in a question. The folks down in Antioch are the ones who asked the question, and they're in Jerusalem. Now, they know what the Holy Spirit said about what to teach, but how do you get that information back to Antioch? Did the Holy Spirit tell them? No. James says in verse 19, it is my judgment that we do not trouble those who are turning from God from among the Gentiles. Now, we know the Holy Spirit is the one that informed that decision. Verse 20, but we write to them that they abstain. Oh, wait a minute. We've got to tell them what the message is. We've got to tell them what the message is. How do we tell them? James has the ingenious idea to write it down. Write these things. Okay, everybody says, oh, that's wonderful. Writing is a fantastic tool. But they don't have email. So they can't just push send, and a second later it's in Antioch. How are they going to get it there? Carrier pigeon? That's an expedient. Mule? Smoke signals. Take the paper that just burned and burn it. What does it say? Verse 22. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men among them to send to Antioch. You see that it seemed good. The Holy Spirit didn't tell them, here's what you tell them and here's how you tell them. That's not what he said there. He said, here's what you tell them. Now you figure out how to get the message there. And it seemed good. Now, somebody might have suggested, hey, let's send Fred instead of Paul. But they settled on these people because it seemed good to them. All right. The Lord's Supper. You're familiar with this command, several of them. There are several things that are specific to the Lord's Supper. Further modifications. The Lord's Supper comprises unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, and it's taken on Sunday. If you search the New Testament, that's what you come up with. Now, do you notice that he never says, and use these instruments to serve the Lord's Supper? Anytime an instrument is mentioned, it's a metaphor. But he never says, look, actually that's not necessarily true. Strike that. You can modify that. But he doesn't say, hey, listen, use these instruments. Use these containers. Well, you've got to get this liquid to the people. How do you do it? Well, either you worry and say, he didn't tell us what container to use, or you say, any container will work. But you do need containers. Also, sing and make melody. This is review for you. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and harps. You need those. Well, does it say how to convey the content of the song? Here are the little dots and the little critters, and these are the words. How do you get these words into our minds? You got to get them in there somehow. Does he tell us how to get them into our minds? No. He assumes that you already know them, or will come to know them. So, songbook, a projector, smoke signals, if that's what would work. Get the song out there so that we can all sing it. Okay, this is all simple. You're aware of this. We use this, we do this all the time. Whether or not we actually think of it, this is what we do all the time, like grammar. We're going to add another category. This category is additions or changes to the nature of the command. Okay, and now what I'm saying here is, these are suggestions, most of them are going to be suggestions over here, that we think look like just generically authorized, but in fact they're not. Okay? This is the first example. Gold or silver containers? Does it matter? No, because he didn't tell us anything about the containers. Gold or silver or wood or whatever you have, if it's a container, go ahead and use it. And you notice, if you have a container, if it's gold or silver, only changes the expedient and not the command. That is the material point. However, compare this. What if we had ice cream and soda instead of unleavened bread and fruit of the vine? Then we've not changed this, but we've changed this. And there is the problem. If we decided to have it on Monday through Saturday instead of Sunday, then we've changed this, not this. There's the problem. Let's go backwards. A hand plane. I said tools, saw, and hammer. If you add a hand plane, it doesn't change any of that. So you're okay. But if you add maple wood instead of gopher wood, or in addition to gopher wood, then what have you done? You've added. You've changed the nature of the command. We cannot do that. Two windows instead of one. We've got a problem. God said one window. And Noah suddenly builds two. We've got a problem. He didn't follow the command. Or how about two arcs? So God says, build an ark, these dimensions, and put all the animals in it. And Noah says, I've got a great idea. I'm going to build another ark and put a whole bunch more animals in it. What has he done? He's gone beyond. God said, build one ark, and these are the dimensions. And so Noah goes out there, and he builds one ark. Towels. It's okay to use towels when you baptize somebody, when you convert them and make them become a disciple. It's okay to use towels. But if you sprinkle and pour, you've not changed this, you've changed this. That word, baptize, means, in the Bible, means to immerse. So when we sprinkle and pour, we've done something else. Also, in the name of the Pope. It says in Jesus' name, not the name of the Pope. So if we use a different name, we've changed that. If we use a different purpose, as an outward demonstration or whatever, we've changed the different purpose. And if we baptize in wine instead of water, we've changed the element in which we're supposed to be baptized. This is easy. A pitch pipe. George used one. A pitch pipe is okay. Let me back up just for a second. I kind of skipped one passage. Here's the deal. When we add these things in yellow that I have up here, we change the nature of over here, the command. Either command or what's essential to it. All right? Now, is that a problem? You remember what God said in 2 John 2, among other places? 2 John 9? Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. I think this is, you remember Nadab and Abihu, we mentioned them earlier. They went too far, and God killed them. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, and we studied this last week, Paul says, look, I went around and I taught these same things everywhere, 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 everywhere. Now don't add to it. Don't take away either. We're in danger of that also. But right now we're talking about all these additions. Are they a problem? Are they a problem? Are they a problem? Yes, they will kill you. They're very serious. Back to singing, and we see that. We see that so clearly. Nobody's going to mess with the Lord's Supper. It ain't going to happen. Nobody's going to mess with baptism. Not in this group. No, we understand it's immersion. It's not sprinkling. We understand it. We know it's clear. The pitch pipe is okay. What about patriotic songs? See, if I add a patriotic song, then what have I done? I've changed the psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs into rock and roll or patriotic songs or whatever it is. I've changed the nature of the command. If I add a guitar, I change the make melody with the heart. Make melody with hearts. And if you add a guitar, what does that do? You are now making melody with a guitar. Now you might say, wait a minute, we use pitch pipes, but we don't use a pitch pipe to make melody. If we played the pitch pipe the entire song, always making the melody, then we'd be making melody with a pitch pipe. But what we're doing is just making one pitch, or George gets up, or whoever, he blows it once, one tiny little time, and we all go, and then we start singing, and there comes the melody. Okay? The pitch pipe. Now you might say, wait a minute, we use song books. We have another class warfare going on here. This is a wrong comparison. A songbook, as much as we're using it when we're singing, we are not using it to sing. You use your vocal cords to sing. Have you ever tried to sing with a songbook? It doesn't work. Now, if we took this songbook up and started going like this, then you know what we've done? We've made melody with a songbook. And we're not supposed to, because he's given us something. The songbook, if the Lord had told us, this is the way you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs, and by the way, learn them only through recitation to each other. Never use a songbook in the positive command. It's implied, don't use the songbook. And we added a songbook if he told us how to learn the song, and it was something other than a songbook, and we used a songbook, then we'd have a problem. But the songbook isn't something totally different. The guitar takes the place or is an addition to the heart or the mouth, however you look at it. Sing and make melody with your hearts. And as soon as it says with the heart, it writes off any other given thing, including a guitar. And you'll notice in Ephesians chapter 5, I searched online the other day, and I came across some a cappella. And I tell you, these people sing, they've got talent. I mean, we're talking serious talent here. I wish I had the talent they had. But what they were singing was a cappella hymns with more than words. More than words. Specifically, I think they would call it percussion. Listen to this. Verse 18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. Did you hear that? Speaking. Speaking. I don't mean to treat you like children here, but you speak words. That's what we use. Speaking and singing. The singing modifies the speaking. Speaking to one another in psalms and spiritual songs. How do we speak? We sing them, making melody with our heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is exactly parallel to Ephesians 5. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 13. Let the one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. See, you've got to understand what you're saying. It can't be just noise. It can't be just noise. If I pray with a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What is the outcome then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. In other words, Paul says, I'm not going to just make noise. I need to understand these sounds that I'm making. They have to mean something. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the mind also. Have your mind and your heart involved in it. Otherwise, if you bless, by the way, do you bless by making noises? No, that doesn't mean anything to anybody. If you bless, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say the amen? Remember? See, we're all saying to each other, this is something that's true. And the other person says, that's right. You can't say that to just noise. I'm not going to bother to illustrate it again, but at the end of the noise making, you can't say, amen, brother, because nothing was said. Verse 17, you are giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not edified. I thank God, I speak tongues much more than you all. However, in the church I desire to speak 5 words. So if we add just these noises to our worship singing, then we've got a problem. Because he says, sing speaking, and it's words. We understand these things. A couple more exercises. This one's easy. 2 Timothy, among other places, says preach. What does it say? Preach the gospel, or the word. When? In season and out of season. Always. A generically authorized aid. A meeting place. Did you know that? If you're going to go and preach, you're going to be somewhere. And so you need a place, a location. Remember this for later. We need a location. Now, how about it's handy if somebody stands up a little bit elevated so everybody can see their face and their teeth. That's handy. It's edifying. It's part of the edifying. I can see clearly. I know what he's saying. I know what he's thinking. That doesn't change the message. It facilitates the preacher preaching the message, or the teacher, or whatever the case might be. A projector doesn't change the message. It gets the message out there. If I added human traditions, then we have a problem. Churches to assemble. Among other places, Hebrews chapter 10. When they're assembling, spiritual activities. That's what we see in the New Testament. Spiritual activities. Preaching, praying, taking up a collection, the Lord's Supper, singing. And sometimes we hear them reading reports. Or not reading reports, Paul making a report. Okay? Do you know that if you assemble, you're going to need a location? Did you know that? Now, you remember John chapter 3. First of all, you remember Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12. When I declare to you this place to worship in, you will worship there. You will worship there. Where is that place? Later on, Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. That's where you worship. Don't worship anywhere else. Specific sacrifices, things like that. There it is. So in John chapter 4, the lady comes along, the woman at the well, and says, is it true that it's only in Jerusalem? And Jesus says, yes, but there will come a time where it's not going to matter where you are. You can worship him. If you have a location, there's good enough. Go ahead and use it. You need a location. Listening can be facilitated by chairs. Some people like to sit down. Some people like to stand up. They listen better standing up. Okay? Is it a location? Yes. Does it have chairs? That's fine. It's a location. The podium? The building. Is it a location? Yes, but it has a building on it, and it doesn't say anything about buildings in there. It's a location. Get the location. It has rooms, more than just one. Is it a location? Yes. Oh, by the way, about the means of procuring it. Are we to rent them, own them, or wait till they're all free? Does he tell us? He doesn't tell us. He says, get a location. Well, I've got to rent it. Fine. Get the location. I've got to buy it. Fine. Get the location. It's better for us to rent it. Okay, fine. Get the location. Somebody's offering one for free. Fine. Get the location. These are all matters of judgment, right? What if this church started to offer English as a second language? What do we have? The church is instructed to teach the gospel, not English as a second language. And we have a problem not with an expediency, but with it's no longer a spiritual activity. The same can be said of playing basketball. Let's all get together as a church function and go play some basketball. That's not a function of the church. Fellowship, quote unquote, fellowship meals. In the New Testament, we do not see the word used of eating food as a common meal. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 11? If you're hungry, 11. If you're hungry, eat at home. And we don't. Not only does he say this explicit command, eat at home, but the word fellowship is never used in the context of eating a meal that we can prove. It may have been, but not that we can prove. And that is the material point. Churches are to provide benevolence. But do you notice it's to saints? That's all we can prove. That's a whole other lesson, but that's all we can prove. Food, medicine, money. These are all expedients. Provide them what they need. Well, what do they need? Whatever it is, get it to them. Now, if we decided to send support to non-saints as a church, as an individual, yes, do good unto all people. But as a church together, as soon as we add to non-saints, we've changed this, the command, and not the expedient. You can change the expedient, whatever's wisest, but you can't change the command. To benevolent societies. What is the New Testament benevolent society for Christians? The local congregation. What if I decided to build another ark? Okay, what's an ark? An ark is God says build this and put all the animals in that. What if I build two? He only taught me to build one. How about a missionary or benevolent society? Benevolent society. What is the Lord's revealed benevolent society for Christians? Is the local church. What if I set up another society of the same people and said, I'm going to use this society. No. Don't give to the church anymore. Or give to the church and have the church send to us this other society. We've set up competition with the local church. We've not changed an expedient. We've changed the church. We've set up something in addition to the church. And the last one. Churches to support preaching. Sent preachers and sent resources directly to preachers. When you scan the New Testament, we're not looking it up. When you scan the New Testament, they sent preachers. Acts 13. And then they sent support directly to preachers. Okay, again, money, etc. The preacher needs support. Get it to him. What does he need? Whatever he needs, get it to him. If we set up a missionary society, the difference between a missionary society, we'll talk about that one in just a second. A missionary society is a group of people who send preachers. Well, what is the Lord's missionary society? The local church. The local church sends Acts 13. So anytime you set up a missionary society, you've not made an expedient or changed an expedient. You've added to the church. The Lord says, local church, send a preacher. He doesn't say, local missionary society, send preachers. A sponsoring church is not a different society. It is where one church, where one local church, with a group of elders, usually a board of men of some kind, they say, okay, no, we're not going to send money to the missionary society. You all send your money to us, and we'll designate who gets the money to preach. But in the New Testament, we don't see that. We do see benevolence sent to churches, but we do not see preacher support sent to churches. We see preacher support from churches sent to preachers. That was a tongue. That was enough. A mouthful. A tongue tie. All right, Lee, have you missed it? Why? Why, Lee? I mean, come on. This has been, like, painful going through these last few weeks. Have I missed it? John 17. In John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Verse 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves may be sanctified in the truth. All right, Jesus' last words, essentially, the last words of a dying man. He's saying, I came here and I lived my life so I could sanctify them, so I could set them apart. Set them apart from what? From the devil and from the world. I set them apart. That's why I'm here and that's why I'm about to die. I do not ask on behalf of these. He's praying about his disciples. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and others. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. Okay, they're going to go out and preach the Great Commission. They're going to go into all the world. And everybody who believes that word, what does he want for them? That they may be one. One. He wants them all to be one. you, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Listen to that. He wants them to be one, so the world will believe that you sent me. Have you ever said to somebody, hey, you ought to be a Christian, and they say, I don't believe in Christianity, look at all the different denominations. Denomination means not one. If they were all one, guess what the world could not say? Look at all the different denominations. That's God's plan. Well, how do we be one? How? The glory which I have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them and you in me, and that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Remember, one, 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 one. Why? Well, not only are we all one, but so the world can look at us and say, there is a God. Now again, how? What did he say? Verse 20, those who believe me through their word. And that's what we've been talking about for 2 weeks now. Here's his word. What's the point? Lee, why have you gone through all this minutia, this mind-bending stuff? Why have you done it? Because it is the very foundation for unity. And anytime we introduce something that isn't in this book, or that we cannot necessarily prove they did, then we introduce disunity. Remember this parting thought. It was not he who obeyed the first command that introduced division, but the one who suggested making the golden calf. He is the one that introduced division. Here's the text. We can understand it, understand what it says, and don't try to suggest anything else, because our unity and God's reputation depends on it. And if you're the one who introduces something else, you're going to have to stand before God, and he's going to say to you, my reputation, look what you've done to it. And I don't want to be the one to be in that situation. We haven't talked about the plan of salvation, but speaking of unity with God, how do we develop unity with God? By obeying his commands. One of the first things is, be baptized. Hear the gospel, believe it, confess, repent, and be baptized into Christ. And you'll have unity with God the Father. If that appeals to anybody, let us know as we stand and sing the song that was chosen.